From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Jadeveon Clowney is a monster. This is what they envisioned Jadeveon Clowney becoming, and it's finally happening.
I think his upside is still incredible. And he basically forced two turnovers in the game.
Yeah.
The sack fumble, obviously, but also when he hit Luck and forced that interception.
Howell intercepted it, yeah. He was all over Luck all day.
Yeah, and they only had one sack. That's why sacks can be so misleading. They were all over him. He got pressure on him constantly. I thought defensively they played as well as they needed to play to win that football game. To the Andrew Luck thing, I kind of think the Matt Ryan / Matt Stafford comparison's a pretty good comparison. He seems to be regressing.
It's hard to put him in that elite top level because he hasn't done elite top level things.
Boy, it really, since that game where they got blown out by the Patriots.
But I'll also argue that Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan don't have nearly the skins on the wall that Andrew Luck does.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what we talked about. All available at podcastarena.com. You can go back and check it out. And hear lots of stuff about Andrew Luck and AJ being an apologist for him.
Yeah.
How about we give something away, and then we'll take some calls here in a little bit. Four-pack of tickets to the Lone Star Shootout. See Texas A&M battle Arizona, and the Longhorns play Arkansas in a nationally televised doubleheader at Toyota Center Saturday, December 17th. For the event details or just to buy some tickets now, log on to HoustonToyotaCenter.com and get yours today. Caller 10. You're going to go see some college basketball. All right. We haven't talked any college football here. There's a couple of things that I wanted to get to. First off, wasn't surprised to see Lamar Jackson win the Heisman. I thought that was...
Nor was I.
I was surprised.
Jake Browning did not win.
No.
Despite...
I was a little surprised at that outfit he was wearing, but hey.
Yeah. The best is the picture of Lamar Jackson and Johnny Football sitting in a hotel room holding the Heisman together afterwards. It's like, oh, great. Congrats on your future.
Don't go down that path, yeah. Lamar. Whatever you do. I, as much as I find Tebow fairly annoying, I'd rather
follow him around.
Yeah. Go take your picture with Tebow. Lamont, yeah, should be a what are the odds question. What are the odds of Cushing being a Texan next year? I would be surprised if they cut him.
It's going to be a tough decision. He may have made one of the bigger plays of the game yesterday. He's not the
game changing playmaker he used to be.
No, but he's solid.
He's solid, and
maybe what are the odds they renegotiate? It might be better.
Yeah, I think that's probably what you do is renegotiate down. I'm trying to get to what his cap hit would be for next year. But, I think, so yeah, if you cut him, you'd save $5.5 million. No, you'd save $8.5 million, and you'd only have $1.2 in dead money.
They may cut him.
Yeah, that's 2018, sorry. Never mind. Got to go back a year. You would save $5.5 million and you'd have almost $4 million in dead money. So
they'll probably keep him.
Yeah, that doesn't make as much sense. His hit will be $9.5 million. So I think you keep
one more year.
One more year and then you whack him the following year. And so like I went 2-2 on bets this weekend, but it was a good weekend because both of my bets that I won were max plays, and one of them was Army covering against Navy. Not only covering.
Oh, that was the best.
But
right?
Did I not call that, though? Did I not tell you all week?
That was the best.
I was guessing you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's a. Army Navy, like, I don't really. I'm not really a big fan of any teams anymore. I guess technically I'm still a Bills fan, but I don't get sad when they win. I don't get excited when they win. I don't get sad when they lose. You know, it's the Army-Navy game. It's literally the one game a year that I actually have, like, a fan sense of excitement for a football game. And sadly, every year it ends in sadness. This was the first time. It was
14
probably
14 years now.
The last time Army beat Navy, I was in the Army.
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
I mean, it's absurd. So that was one of my most I would argue that outside of wagering, that was my most exciting sports day in a long, long time, like years probably. So that was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and the ratings were huge this year.
Yeah,
which is cool. I was glad to see them win. Mainly, I was kicking myself for not money lining them. I thought about it, but reality is, it was probably the smart play to just take the 6 points. But I just thought it was really cool, and it was, you know, I'm glad to see them win. And I thought going in, Navy's lost a lot of players this year. I might bet against them in a bowl game. I've actually started doing all my bowl research. Early on, I was thinking I would take San Diego State against Houston, but the number's only 3.
Yeah, that's strange.
And basically keeping your offensive coordinator, I mean, that's as little disruption as you can expect for a team like that. I think I may have to go the other way on that. Some other news, though, we talked about it briefly but didn't really dive into it, but your buddy Lane Kiffin winds up at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, very strange choice to me. I'll be honest. I think he would have been better off taking the LSU OC job and parlaying that if he wasn't going to get the head coaching job that he wanted this year, which that's what it looks like. I mean,
he didn't. You know, South Florida wound up going with Charlie Strong, which I think is a great hire for them.
I do too, but I think that I still believe that the contract stuff turned him off from UH.
And that's, I'm not saying, actually, that's not what happened.
Oh, really?
They never offered him the job. He was never.
They never discussed numbers and things like that
at any point.
Okay.
So that came strictly from Kiffin's agents.
Okay. But if he wasn't going to get the job that he really wanted, I think he would have been better off going back for a year at LSU, being the OC there. Being the OC at LSU is a better job than being the head football coach at Florida Atlantic right now.
I would agree.
That's Florida Atlantic is a mess. A mess. I don't know. I mean, they did beat Rice this year, but that's about it.
Yeah.
They were 3-9.
They've been 3-9 for 3 straight years.
I mean, that's a hell of an uphill climb. I'll say this, though. If he turns that program around, which it is Conference USA, wouldn't be impossible to do so.
And Partridge had actually recruited pretty well there. There's a few players there.
But if they're winning 7-8 games in 2 years.
Even in 1 year.
That guy gets a better job.
If they go from 3-9 to 7-5, he probably does get a better job.
I remember I said UH was the perfect size job for Lane Kiffin.
This is below that.
This is well below it.
Well, in South Florida, too, I would say, is in that conversation. Yeah, yeah. That would have been fine. But
so if he can't win at Florida Atlantic, and winning is relative. So winning 10 games at UH, I'm saying if you win 6 or 7 games at Florida Atlantic, that's big.
Yeah.
But if you can't win 6 or 7 games at Florida Atlantic, I mean, that's you're going to have a hard time getting a bigger job.
I think it's interesting to me that Alabama didn't really want him anymore. There's something to that, because that's why he winds up taking this job. Now, I would have thought, as you said, LSU OC would be a better gig, but and as far as LSU's concerned,
well, I think it came down to they brought in Steve Sarkisian. Nick Saban likes Sark better than he likes Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Which, that's not a surprise.
No. And you've got the guy there. Now, apparently, Ed Orgeron's also interested in Sarkisian, but I assume he's going to stick at Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
He's also a former Oregon.
Where can he get better booze? I would think LSU.
Oh, God, I mean, that's the place.
If you're an alcoholic, LSU's the job to take.
But yeah. No, that's
not a joke.
No, that's a short drive to New Orleans.
Yeah.
They've got drive-through daiquiri huts in Baton Rouge.
Yeah,
Sark will love that.
I don't know if that'd be the best choice.
Maybe not. Yeah, he might want to stick in Alabama.
Yeah, but Mark Helfrich is a possibility as OC, and Matt Canada is also a possibility for OC. So for LSU fan, that's according to College Football Talk. So those are the three names that they vetted in case that Kiffin did get a job, which he has, such as it is. Let's get a phone call. DJ, you're on the Blitz. Go.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing sports.
I'm giving you guys a call because I once hit a parlay in Vegas. It was great. $5 brought back my...
Dude, your phone sucks. I'm sorry. I can't hear this story.
Every week.
Cut him off. Sorry, man. You're going to have to text that in.
Yeah, text it. We can't. Your phone is terrible. I would love to talk to you. It sounds like you want a parlay, but
yeah, but
I have no idea, honestly.
Yeah, I heard nothing but something about a bet. Let's try Walter. What's up, Walter?
Walter. Hey now, Walter.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
You're on, bud.
Yeah, I want to talk about my favorite player, Cam Newton, and I really believe 100% if they would ever turn him loose, he could be the first quarterback to ever gain 1,000 yards in the pros, but they won't turn him loose. And if you know football, you really know he's never had a great offensive line. He does not have a running back like an O.J. Simpson that could take it to pay dirt on, you know, just one carry. He don't have a receiver like Bob Hayes or Jerry Rice that can stretch the defense, and yet he took them 15-1. It's like he put them on his back. But, you know, no matter how great a quarterback you are, it starts at the line. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, if you watch them, they've always had a line, and you really can never get to them. But I saw on TV that since he's been into the league, he's been hit more than any quarterback, so I would love to see if he had a line like Dallas Cowboys. But I want to ask you this question. This is his sixth year, and if you were the coach of the Panthers, you don't have no great receiver, and you got Westbrook coming out of Oklahoma, and he don't have a great running back, and you got Burnett coming out of LSU, and like I say, it starts at the line, and he don't have no great lineman like an Anthony Munoz used to play for the Cincinnati Bears. But if you were the coach,
okay, Walter, let me jump in here, man.
Well, first of all, nobody, Carolina's got a really good offensive line.
They do. They've had some injuries this year, but that's one of the reasons they were so good last year.
Yeah.
Number two, nobody has O.J. Simpson behind them.
And nobody has Jerry Rice.
You're only talking about two of the all-time greats. And this is the third time I've heard if he had Dallas's offensive line.
Dallas is the only team that has
the only one.
Yes, come
and
on. I got to tell you, if I'm going down the list of offensive lines I want after Dallas, I'm not going too far down before I say Carolina. And I got to be honest, I like Cam. I like his game. I would never want him on my team because I think he's a crybaby and I think he's a front runner. And when things aren't going perfect for Cam Newton, he melts. And we saw that in the Super Bowl last year when he's laying on the ground kicking his feet like a child. You saw him make the decision that fashion was more important than his football team. There's a lot to not like about Cam Newton. I think he's got some game, but I think that, you know, acting like Cam Newton is somehow a receiver away from being Tom Brady is I mean, I know he's your favorite guy, but that's silly.
You know what Tom Brady has done? He's created a lot of receivers.
Yep.
How did Deion Branch do when he wasn't a Patriot anymore?
Exactly.
Yeah. But the good thing for Cam is he doesn't need a new career.
Oh, and if he did, well, who knows when he will. MyComputerCareer.edu will be the place to go. My Computer Career. Listen, if you're one of these guys who is a career changer, you're tired of the job you have, you're not making enough money, IT is a constant high growth sector. And if you like working or playing with computers, that could be the role for you. And Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. This company's hiring IT guys all over the city. But to get those jobs, you've got to have the right skills and certification. The place to go, mycomputercareer.edu. It's more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry because they partner with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Most of those students start their first job in just a few months. You're attending class only twice a week on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. And at My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today and find out if an IT career is right for you. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. This guy, Brandon McGarity on Twitter, apparently was not happy that I was making fun of the Lebatard show, and he's like tweeting them to make fun of us. Well, guess what? You're blocked. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't care. I only had to listen to it because I was in a place that was playing it. I would never listen to that show. You like it? Great for you. But
it's all right. Yeah.
It's not for me. And you're
was he just tweeting at you?
I think he was tweeting at both of us. And I was, you know, just trying to tell him. Not interested in it. And he's like, hey, roast these local radio hosts. No, I'll just block you. Goodbye. Jacob says, did you talk about how UT is too chicken bleep to play U of H? They said in the press conference today that they were willing to take less money for the buyout in order for a home and home in basketball and football. The reality is $2.5 million buyout is, it's nothing. And for Texas,
couch change for Texas.
Yeah, and for Texas, that's a hell of a lot easier than trying to schedule a home and home in football when they've already got most of their schedules done through, 2022 and beyond. They're working on those. They've already got a tough enough one. I think it has nothing to do with it. That's just, in my opinion.
I understand why UH would want to do it.
Yeah, I do
but
too.
But I also understand why Texas.
Yeah, Texas is,
said, no, we'd rather just pay the money.
Yeah, just here, $2.5 million, go away. I can see playing home and home in basketball. That's, you know.
I'm surprised they don't do that anyway.
Yeah, they should. I mean, Texas really should play every, you know, every one
Texas
of these.
They should want to be in this market playing a basketball game every year. And I guess they are, technically.
Yeah, well, they're going to be here
showcase
at Toyota Center. But I think it wouldn't be a terrible thing for them to play UH or Rice every year.
I'm with you on that. They should be in Houston.
A&M should do that. Besides doing the showcase, they should be here playing at those other arenas. Get here a couple times, man. You got a lot of recruits here. Football, though, I don't think it really matters.
No. Texas doesn't need that. Honestly, I don't know that UH needs that either.
No, and you know, by the time they play, who knows what? That,
right.
You don't know what those teams are going to be. Neither one of them. So I don't think it's that at all. I think it's just from a UT standpoint, I look at it as just a sound business decision. Pay the money. 2.5 is tip money for them.
Yep.
Let's try Lorenzo.
A lot of schools would have agreed to that home and home thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. If they had to pay,
because $2.5 million, that's a substantial amount to a lot of teams, but they would have just said, we're good.
Yeah. There's you know. Decent Power 5 schools that would have taken that.
Yep.
But Texas will make a lot more money off of whatever games they do anyway. Let's to Lorenzo. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Sportsy.
Sports, guys. I was calling in to see if y'all caught the UFC this past weekend, Pettis versus Holloway, and then Cerrone versus Matt Brown. Just wondering what y'all thought about that, and then just wondering if what y'all – thoughts are on the upcoming one with Ronda Rousey's return against Amanda Nunes. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. I thought that was arguably the best UFC card of the season or of the year. It had some of the best fights of the year for sure. Choi versus Swanson was, I think, the fight of the year, and I don't think it was close. I thought that it was a card that was lacking on paper. Sometimes those are the best ones, and it sold, man. And would it have been nice if they still had Daniel Cormier and Anthony Johnson at the top of the card? Sure. Did I really care about the interim title between Holloway and Pettis? No, not really. They could have just said it's a number one contenders fight, and the winner fights Jose Aldo. I would have been fine with that. But I thought it was really a fantastic card. And shout out to my boy Black Beast.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He won on Friday night. Wasn't pretty.
But he gets another stoppage win, and that's five in a row for him.
Yeah, what's next for him? He's moving up the ranks here, man.
I think he wanted to fight on the Houston card, but he didn't feel very good about his performance on Friday, so we'll see what they do with him. I think there's a lot of guys in the top 10 that are good matchups for him. I hope that he gets one, but I'm not sure what's next for him. And Houston has two more guys fighting this Saturday. Alex Morano fights on Saturday, and Sage Northcutt fights on Saturday against Mickey Gall. So a couple more Houston guys coming up this weekend. But UFC 207, I mean, I'm excited to see Ronda back. I'm excited to see what she is. It's probably like third or fourth on my list of fights I'm excited for. Dominic Cruz, Cody Garbrandt is an amazing fight, and Verdum Velasquez is...
That's the one I'm looking forward to.
I mean, come on. How that's the third fight on the card is beyond me. I still say that's probably the two best heavyweights in the world, despite the fact that Verdum lost to the champ. So I'm excited for that card quite a bit.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And apparently, we're talking a little UT, looks like Tom Herman... Another hire that he's familiar with, pulling the Rutgers offensive coordinator to Texas, Drew Merringer, who was with Herman at several other places. If I had one criticism, I'd like to see him reach out and expand his staff a little bit.
I would too.
Not all his guys.
I got to tell you, hiring the offensive coordinator on a team that, let me tell you, I'm going to give you these four teams that they played this year. These are the four best teams they played in conference. They played Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and I'll even throw Michigan State in there. How many points combined do you think Rutgers scored against those four teams?
I'm guessing not many.
How about zero? Yeah. 0 points in those four games.
Yeah, they had one of the worst offenses in college football. And now, it was first year there. They weren't very good. Now, I don't know that he's going to be OC or if he's going to be – I assume he's going to be OC at Texas since he was OC at Rutgers.
I don't know.
But I think Herman's going to call the plays anyway, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, that's a – I mean, I would think this is a guy who would be getting fired at Rutgers. But I don't know how he – just got a promotion.
That's – I kind of wish that Tom would sort of follow the Urban Meyer thing here. Urban Meyer would always go get guys that weren't necessarily from his tree.
Yeah,
get the best guys he could get. And at Texas, you can do that. You got money to spend on assistants. Go out and get somebody with a different perspective. I mean, it's still your team. And that concerns me just a little bit because I think that's certainly what Charlie Strong did, and those guys weren't good enough. And now I think Tom's a better coach, but that's just a little bit of an alarm bell. 281 says, it's my wife's birthday today. Any chance for a Blitz birthday shout-out? You just got it.
Shout out. To the wife. Yeah,
passing game coordinator is what he's going to be.
Oh, okay. So that's
although their passing game was not anything to be.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's like hey, here's a paycheck.
Right.
You know, maybe he's going to use him as a recruiter. I don't know what it is.
Apparently he's a pretty good recruiter too. So, but I still, I'm just a little, I'd like to see him go outside, especially for, and obviously Todd Orlando is going to be his defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I would like to see, I think Todd's good, but I would have liked to have seen some time with him at a bigger place before he took the Texas job. I just think that's a pretty damn big job. And, you know, I like him. I think he'll do a good job. But, boy, you're going to have a lot of guys taking a big step here.
One of the guys I thought they'd maybe be looking at, you remember it last year when Chad Morris got bumped out for Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott at Clemson, and they have like co-offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
Go take one of those guys. Like, hey, you want to quit being a co-offensive coordinator and be the man? Here you go. It's very strange to me. And, you know, even going back and stealing somebody from Urban Meyer, if you can, someone down the line on that staff, a guy that you know is like a quarterback coach, somebody like that who you know is going to be good. That's an odd hire to me.
Obviously they're probably still having OC, so who knows what happens there. But just for defensive coordinator, man, You're Texas. Can't you go hire Jim Leavitt away from Colorado?
Right.
That'd be pretty good, right? I'd feel better about that, but we'll see how it plays out. I think he's going to go through some growing pains the first year.
Yeah, or he may exceed expectations because the talent's there.
Yeah, I just I'd feel better with a little more experience on that staff when you have the wherewithal to go get those kind of guys.
I'll be honest. To me, the guy that on the defensive side that I would want back and I would pay a lot of money to have him come back is Dwayne Aquina, who was sort of a scapegoat when Mac Brown was headed out. And you talk about the quality of defensive backs that guy churned out while he was at Texas was second to none. And he's there at Stanford now, and you know, it was a decent year for Stanford, nothing to write home about, but they were solid. I bet Dwayne Aquina would love to be back in Austin. That's a guy I'd make a phone call to. And he doesn't care about being the DC. Make that guy your defensive backs coach and let him do what he did for 10 years and send, I don't know, 8 guys to the first round of the NFL draft. You might want to go knock on that door.
Josh says, I'm still waiting for Tressel to get a call. I can't believe I hear Browell's name before his.
Wow. I'm starting to wonder if Jim Tressel even wants to work.
Well, he's president,
like the president of a university.
He's
now
president of Youngstown, yeah.
And so maybe it's a better paying job.
I don't know about that. I can't imagine a president paying more than a head coach at a major school.
At a major school, but
maybe he can't get a major school.
Yeah.
Double down. Probably more accurate to say Saban dislikes Sark less than he dislikes Kiffin.
That's true.
Probably fair.
I don't think Saban really likes anybody.
No, he's... All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Somebody asked me if I'd in the text line if they saw me in that 5K Saturday night downtown. Yeah, that was me. I got there so late. It was so stupid. I walked like a mile past where the starting place was. So I wound up starting 15 minutes late after everybody else had already gone. And it's like the only night 5K, so it's down Allen Parkway, and it's really dark, and you're the only person out there.
You could have gotten raped.
Yeah. I was, honestly, at some point, I kind of looked at him and go, this might not be the smartest thing ever.
But then your wife running with you?
Well, she was sick, so she didn't go. And that's why, because she knew where to go, and I'm just kind of, you'd think living in Houston most of my life, I'd know where the hell to go, but I wandered down by the damn aquarium, and it was starting over by Sam Houston Park. So I was way out of where I was supposed to be. And I finally get there and I'm like, well, should I do this since I'm this late? The guy's like, yeah, go ahead. So I took off and it took me about 10 minutes to catch the back of the pack. I was getting worried. There's nothing worse than being that last person to finish, because that happened to me a few months ago when I hurt my knee. So I'm like, man, it wound up being a pretty good race. It's kind of fun doing it at night. And the weather was actually pretty nice. It wasn't too cool or too hot, but. Yeah, that's a weird feeling when you're running down Allen Parkway by yourself and there's no one around. Let's grab David.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Sports to y'all.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, hey, guys. Sports to y'all. Two questions. I haven't been listening for the couple first hours, but the hire of Tom Herman on the Rutgers offensive coordinator, Drew Maringer, given that Rutgers is pretty much a terrible team, is this concerning at all to either of you that he cannot find someone better? And then two, Texas sports. I'm a little disappointed in Texas basketball this year, given that Texas almost lost to a 2-9 Long Beach State team. What are your thoughts on A, if Shaka Smart makes the tournament, and B, thoughts on the team, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, on the first one, we just talked about that in the last segment. Yes, there's legitimate concern about his coaching hires, and we talked about how bad. But I don't think that guy's going to be the OC at Texas, the Rutgers OC. I think he's taking a demotion to come to Texas with Tom Herman in hopes that he can kind of turn things around. Because I'm guessing that Rutgers staff
gets wiped all the way out if they have another year of this. As far as Texas basketball, yeah, they've been disappointing. That's probably an understatement. This was a team that had really high expectations coming in. This was the year that Shaka Smart was supposed to kind of put it together. Yeah, Long Beach was like a 20-point dog. That was that paid for me the other night. I lost a couple bets on Texas early. They couldn't get it going. And as far as whether or not they're a tournament team, I'm not sure. So far, it's not looking like it. They have the worst overall record amongst Big 12 schools. And granted, they're playing a pretty tough non-conference schedule, but I mean, it'd be nice to see them beat some of the decent teams that they're playing in non-conference. They lost to UT Arlington, UT Arlington's a good team for their conference, but shouldn't be beating Texas, much less by double digits. Texas is going to have to really improve in conference play and probably make a deep Big 12 championship run to have a chance to make the tournament. I don't know that they're going to be a tourney team.
How's the Big 12 overall look? Obviously, Kansas is good.
Baylor, I think, is the best team in the Big 12. Baylor has won some legitimate games in non-conference. They haven't lost yet. I think they're legit. I mean, obviously, Kansas is going to be good. I think West Virginia is another team that I'm going to keep an eye on, and they might be pretty good. And TCU's been off to a pretty hot start. I don't know how legit they are, but they've been off to a good start so far.
Yeah, they've got a pretty damn good coach.
Yep.
So we shall see.
They got drubbed by SMU the other night. That was my first real cause for concern with them.
Well, SMU still has a few players left.
Yeah.
But 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Matt says, so basically I'm the idiot his wife and I laugh at, say, white people who run in Memorial Park at night. Yeah, pretty much. That's the only time I ever run at night is this one race each year. It's only like the second time they've done it. I don't like doing that, but ordinarily it's a 15-minute walk from my place, so it kind of makes sense. Turned into a 35-minute walk because I'm an idiot. So, yeah, I'm going to say I'm the idiot. Absolutely. Joshua asks, how do you feel about ex-players coaching, such as Aaron Ross or Michael Huff as DB coach? I think it just depends on the player. There's some guys who can translate what they've learned very well. I mean, being a coach is being a teacher as much as anything, and some guys have that and some guys don't. So,
yeah, I mean, those are nice names.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'd help with recruiting, but I don't know if those guys can coach, and that's a pretty big job to figure out if you can coach or not.
Yeah, that's where you've got to start someplace smaller and work your way up.
Those guys should be at Texas State down the road just so, you know, they keep their eye on where they should be. I don't know that I'm giving those guys a job like that before they do anything.
Fournette says Maringer is a WR coach, not OC. And we mentioned that, and we also mentioned that he was with Herman and left last year for Rutgers. So, but thanks for pointing it out. Jeff Fisher.
Passing game coordinator.
Yeah, passing game coordinator.
Whatever that means.
Right. Well, we'll see. I'd like to see some outside hires, though, from his tree.
I would, too.
That's all. And your Texas, you can go out and get pretty much whoever you want. Eric Dickerson on Jeff Fisher's firing. I can't feel sorry for a guy who made $35 million.
Jeff Fisher stole money for a long time.
I don't know how this guy kept surviving. I'm a little surprised that they finally pulled the trigger on him, but he has been not just a mediocre coach. He's been a bad coach for a long time. And you know, to me, he's got a little Lane Kiffin in him.
Yeah.
That's that where he just kept getting hired.
Yeah, I don't know. Lane Kiffin may be better than him.
Maybe. But, yeah, it always surprised me that Lane Kiffin kept getting jobs. It always surprised me that Jeff Fisher kept keeping jobs.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, guys, we're in the holiday season. It's the time of giving. And how about donating? Because if you donate, then you can do a great thing. You can help out some kids, and you can get rid of something you're not using anymore. And I'm talking about Houston Can Academies. And by your donation, I'm talking cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs. Doesn't matter if they're running. Maybe you got a tractor that's been sitting out in your backyard that you've been trying to wonder what to do with. Well, donate it to Houston Can Academy. And they're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork, and your donation's tax deductible. And if you can hear my voice on the radio, they'll come and tow it. Doesn't matter where you are. And if you donate today, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. And that money that they use from those vehicles goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies. These are kids who are getting a second chance, that dropped out of other schools for a lot of reasons. Good kids that had some difficulties or had to get jobs. Well, they help them. They give them a second chance. And so many of them go on and do great, great things. And you can help. And now's the season to do it. If you've been thinking about doing something with that vehicle, hey, tax season's right around the corner. Time to get your deduction. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. Sing it for the blind, sing about everyone that you left behind. Sing it for the world, sing it for the world.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Tuesday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all-you-can-eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. That's thebigtexasparty.com for a limited time only. $75 off. So get your tickets early. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. This is going to be the best party of the week, so you want to get in on that. Gabriel asks, where would you rank Jeff Fisher amongst the worst coaches in NFL history? It's hard to say because Gus Bradley's doing ridiculous things at Jacksonville that have never been done, too.
Yeah,
but he does have the he's tied for the most losses.
Here will be the key. When Gus Bradley eventually gets fired, will he get hired by another team to be the head coach?
Not a chance, right?
I would think so, but I mean, yeah. Jeff Fisher did.
But Jeff Fisher actually did had a couple good seasons with the Titans when he got fired. Yeah. So, but not enough considering how long he was there.
Overall resume is horrendous for this guy.
Yeah. All right, let's do a dumbass report.
Let's do it. There were lots to choose from, including a couple local ones. And then I thought, well, we can do that local stuff anytime during the week.
Yeah.
Because we can always say, well, here's a dumb local story. So I figured we'd save some of those and go with Florida.
Okay.
Bradenton, Florida, where a young man... The bomb squad was called because a young man decided, I'm going to take my grandfather around. His father, his 56-year-old son, came and got the 82-year-old grandpa.
Okay.
From his mobile home.
Uh-oh.
And
a mobile home Florida story. What could go wrong?
Yeah, they moved out. They were moving back to Lufkin, Texas. So once he leaves the mobile home, I guess there's like a... I don't know if it's a cleanup crew or what that comes through the mobile home and gets it ready for the next guy who's going to move into the Bradenton, Florida trailer park. Well, when they started to clean it out, they noticed there was a pineapple-style grenade strapped to a package with duct tape inside the oven. One of the gas burners on the stove was turned on, but the flame was not lit. The neighbor shut off the burner and left the mobile home. The bomb squad confirmed the device was a grenade and the substance secured to the grenade was highly flammable nitrocellulose in solid form. Of course, the sheriff's office tracked him down. The guy's in Jasper County. They track him down and he's obviously going to have some trouble with this. But how angry are you that you're going to blow up your old mobile home? There's so many great memories.
Okay.
Maybe I'm crazy. You're familiar with the Hell's Angels, right?
Yes.
When you think
Hell's Angels. What do you think?
Well, I always think of that Rolling Stones thing and, you know, drug trade, stuff like that.
But you think, like, not to be trifled with, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you won't mess with them.
No, well, a man tried to claim a parking spot outside the Hell's Angels East Village headquarters. Basically like, no, I'm not moving my car for you. Well, it ended up with him being shot in the stomach.
Of course it did.
David Martinez moved an orange traffic cone placed outside the bikers group clubhouse. Someone came out to challenge him. The argument turned into an all-out brawl. Someone then shot Martinez in the stomach. His buddies loaded him into their Mercedes-Benz and drove him to the Bellevue Hospital where he's expected to survive. But this just seems like common sense. Like, if you're trying to take a parking spot, and then you look over the building, and it says Hell's Angels Headquarters.
Yeah.
And someone comes out and says, hey, you can't park here? What happened to the days where you say, oh, okay, I'll park somewhere else? That's cool.
That's like going up to the drug cartel building and saying, ah, you know what? I think I'll park here in the El Presidente spot.
Yeah.
That's not wise.
That's not the way to go. And finally, you're stealing a 58-inch TV from Walmart.
Why not a 60?
Well, I guess 58 was what he decided he could carry safely, and this is in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Walmart. Stealing from Walmart.
Yeah, he decided to do this on a pretty bad day, though. They do this once a year. It's called Shop with a Cop, where police go in with underprivileged children and sort of help them pick out some presents and, nice community thing. And investigators say a store asset protection officer tried to stop Walsh before he walked out of the store. Police say Walsh ran back into the store and left through another exit. Unfortunately for him, he ran into a store where they were doing the Shop with a Cop event. Several ran after him, and they quickly had him in custody.
It's a trap!
With grand theft, resisting merchant, and resisting officer without violence. Not
dumbass.
Wise, guys. And that is this week's Dumbass Report, Fred. We'll have some good local stuff throughout the week, though.
John, thank you for the Admiral Akbar drop. Just want to make sure I get that correct.
That's a trap.
I don't want to get that started again.
Don't mess it up.
No.
Don't rile up those nerds.
You guys going to go watch Rogue One?
Now, is that... That's not a sequel to the last one, though,
no,
right?
No, it's like a... I think it's an in-between between what happened at the very... I'm gonna get blasted on Twitter if I get this wrong. And this is off the top of my head. I think it's a in-between movie between the series.
Unrelated to everything else, right?
Sort of. It's kind of related.
Only thing in common is the Death Star, but none of the same characters as the last movie, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that interests me all that
I'm
much.
I'm not sure either. I got to be honest, I'm bummed out. There was an Alamo Draft House in Vintage Park where I live.
Yeah.
And they closed it down, and it's now a Star Cinema Grill, and I don't know anything about Star Cinema Grill, and I liked Alamo Draft House.
They're
not bad.
They're about the same, except Star Cinema is a little cleaner.
And they have, like, their tickets are like $3 or $4 more per ticket.
Yes, they're
expensive.
Is the
beer going to keep being good?
Because
my Alamo had pretty good beer. And the worst part is, Alamo Draft House says they're opening 4 new theaters in the Houston area. Like, why'd you take the one that's, like, a block from my... It's stumbling distance from my house. The hell?
They did that just to piss you off.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, see, I have Sundance, so...
Yeah.
Beer and wine there, too.
Yeah.
It's always cool.
All right. No hard booze?
No, I don't think so, but no,
it's not that's like a good thing about Alamo. You could get lit watching Alamo, and they'll do like these they'll do these things where they show like 3 movies in a row for $12, and you sit there drinking for 3 movies in a row.
I won't remember the third one.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap it up.
It's usually Godfather 3, so who cares?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's the worst Godfather. Good job, Jong Lee. Good job, A.J. Hoffman.
Or Return of the Jedi.
Could be that.
If we want to stick with the nerd theme.
Yep, we should do that.
After Empire Strikes
that's
Back,
a trap.
You could just give up.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
This is ESPN 97.5.